gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Tuesday morning, Community Connections with me, Dave Chan-Smith, and I've got Claire, the garden editor, on the telephone. Good morning to you, Claire. How are you?
Well, good morning. Good morning. I'm very well. I am loving this weather, I have to say. There's some nice weather around at the moment.
Bit
but
nice,
some
isn't it?
cold spells, yeah, some cold spells, but in the sun, you know, you can feel the spring is coming around the corner at us. How are you doing?
I'm right. Because you're a gardener, can you predict the weather from plants?
No, but I can tell that the plants are reading the weather. Does that make sense? So you see quite often in labels of plants, say, you know, plant this out in May, but the plants don't read the labels, they read the weather. So if we've had like a really cold and wet and grotty April, if you plant them out in May, they're not going to be happy. So they can tell how long daylight is, they can tell how warm the soil is, they can tell how much strength there is in the sun. So I can tell that we've had a dry February, March so far, actually. So if you've got your tulips, if your tulips are poking through, give them a drink, because it's actually, we've not had much rain. Shh, don't tell anyone. Otherwise it might rain for ages and ages, but we've not had much rain. So it's looking a bit on the dry side for container pots at the moment. So you might need to give things a bit of a drink.
All right. Okay. So what we're talking about today, we're talking about springtime, aren't we?
We are. And I thought, listen, we're just getting to the season of lovely spring flowering trees and shrubs. So I thought I would just do a rundown on my top five or so spring flowering trees and shrubs to give you that absolute hit of bling.
You must have daffodils in there somewhere.
Well, I do, if they were a tree or a shrub. If someone could invent a tree.
shows you how much I was listening to you then, doesn't it, really?
I'm sure you're paying attention deeply, but I can imagine a daffodil-sized, a tree-sized daffodil would be quite a thing, wouldn't it? It would indeed. But we're going to start off with my favourite spring flowers, and that's magnolias. Now, magnolias are so cool. Do you know how old magnolia trees are, Dave? Not the ones in your garden, but how old the kind of the genus that the group of trees are?
No, I'm going to sound really sad here. I thought magnolia was a paint. I didn't even think there was a tree called magnolia tree.
Well, I think maybe it's because some of the flower petals are the colour of what we now call magnolia tree. But the tree itself
shows you my education was rubbish then, doesn't it? Because I never knew that. Well, there you go.
Well, we were never taught this up. Anyway, magnolias are about 95 million years old. They are older than many of the dinosaurs. They are older than T-Rex. They are older than Triceratops. And they have these really huge, huge flowers. Because they evolved at a time when they were pollinated by beetles. And so what happens is you get the flowers before you get any of the leaves. You get these really furry little buds, and then they absolutely explode. And some of the flowers can be bigger than your hand, like ridiculous. And the reason is the pollinators, these beetles, were really big and really heavy. So they needed really sturdy leaves to climb on. And the reason they were pollinated by beetles was because bees didn't exist 95 million years ago.
Wow.
How about that for a fact?
I must remember to, when I go to a pub quiz, I must to phone a friend. Or if I'm on, if you want to be a millionaire, I must remember to put your name down and to phone a friend.
It's the best fact, I guarantee, listeners. If you don't feel excited by that and don't want to go and tell friends, I don't know where we go. But I literally tell anyone who will listen, and many people who may not want to listen, about how old magnolias are. It's great for kids as well, because it gets them excited and gets them thinking about dinosaurs.
Are they quite common trees then?
They are. Now, a lot of them like acid-loving soil, which is ericaceous soil. And around Basingstoke, we have a bit of a mix, but many of us don't have acid soil. We have alkaline soil. But the good news is that there are some magnolias which are totally fine like that, and those are the ones called stellata. They're little like star-like flowers, really pretty, really small. They like quite rich soil because they come from their Japanese and Himalayan woodlands originally. So lots of good organic horse poo, dig that in. Part shade, but beautiful. A little bit of a shelter because they don't like the wind. A little bit on the fussy side, but spectacular when you get going. So a real invest and love type of a plant is the magnolia. So that's first one.
Yeah.
If you want something a bit quicker to flower and a bit more reliable and easy to care for around here, I don't think you can go far wrong with what's a flowering cherry, a prunus. Flowering cherries are great around here. They love this type of soil that we have, and you'll see them quite often in many, many gardens around Hampshire. And they are really spectacular because they have lots and lots of blossom in pinks and in whites. Two of my personal favourites are, they've got funny names, so I'm going to go a bit slow. I can never say this one. Amanogwa, Anamogwa. And that Prunus Amanogwa is also called the flagpole cherry tree, which is an easier thing to say, so let's stick with that.
Yeah,
and
let's
it's
stick with
because it's
flagpole
really,
cherry tree.
yeah, flagpole cherry. The reason why it's like a flagpole, it's really narrow. So if you want a tree in your garden, you think you do not have space for a tree, I guarantee you a prunus, a flagpole cherry, really narrow, you know, probably 50, 70, 80 centimetres wide, like a yard or two wide, but
Yeah.
lovely blooms, really upright. If you have a bit more space and you want something a bit more kind of blooming more widely, you can have something like Kansan, which is like filthy deep pink colour blossom, but more spreading and more outward shaping. But there are loads of different flowering cherries. And I know we're going to be doing a Q&A in a couple of weeks' time. So if people have got questions on what type of cherry tree would suit their gardens, just let us know. We'd be delighted to help. So moving on from the cherries, if you're shouting at your radio or your computer or your phone, whenever you're listening to this and saying, but I can't grow cherry trees because I've got really acidic soil. Then camellias are the group for you. Camellias can grow in pretty much complete shade, and they are evergreen, so they have their leaves all year round, very glossy leaves, and then they flower sometimes as early as January, February through to March, and sometimes all the way into April. Really, really big, round pinks and whites, various shades. You can even get them kind of two-tone, which looks like someone's gone in with a paintbrush and had a bit of fun in the art class department. Very reliable, hardy as you like, not fussy. So not fussy like the magnolia, doesn't need the alkaline soil like the cherry tree. So if you're more on acid soil, that is one for you. You can hack them in all sorts of interesting ways as well. But a really, really good early bloomer to give you some much needed cheer. So that's my kind of my top three. And then moving downwards, I'm going to give one for the yellow haters out there, because I know there's people who really hate yellow in their gardens, which is funny, isn't it? Some
Yep.
I don't get that with many other colours, but it's quite often people really don't like having yellow.
Why is that then?
Or
Is it because it
I don't
attracts
know.
too many bugs or something, or?
I don't know. I think it's very interesting psychologically. And sometimes it's just a question of not finding the right yellow, and people think of yellow as one particular colour, and there's
Yeah.
all sorts of tones and things. But if you do like yellow, Forsythia, which is a really lovely native plant, it's more like a shrub, but it's very arching and very graceful. And it's got these lovely, lovely yellow blooms on these bare stems. And it's great for early pollinators as well. And it really adds a kind of a burst of colour. And because the flowers are all over the stems, it's not just at the ends, you get a real hit. So it's one if you want a real splodge of bright yellow. So Forsythia, technically called Forsythia cross intermedia, but you know, what's a bit of Latin between ferns? And then the last one is kind of technically more of a winter flowering, but a lot of them are still going at this time of year, and that is the daphnes. Now, daphnes are shrubs, not trees, and they have leaves, evergreen pretty much year round, unless we get a very cold weather. But the reason why I mentioned daphnes is not only are their flowers stupendous, but their scent is unreal. It literally is one of those plants which stops you in your tracks and think, goodness, what is that? They are slow growing. They like it sheltered. They like it in part shade. They don't like too much sun. So they are a little bit fussy in that sense. But there's the amount of scent you get from the plant all the way through January, February, March is incredible. So I quite often, when I'm designing, I will put a daphne by a front door or by a door that you use, or where you're going out to the bins or something like that, because in those dark winter months when you need something to keep you going, some really lovely scent can actually help your garden. We in our gardens, we think about all five of our senses, not just what we look at. And it's a really lovely way of making your everyday life feel that much better. So that was my top five flowering trees and shrubs for winter into spring.
And of course, being a scented one, when you first said that, I thought, oh, is it going to be a nice scented one? Because there's some horrible scented ones out there at the minute. Not at the minute, but I remember where I used to live, there was a I think it was a shrub on a garden, and it I'm sure it had like an orange sort of bell type flower on it or something, and it was disgusting. It was
It's
horrible.
really, there's a couple of plants, and some people can't stand the smell of them because they smell like cat wee.
That's yeah,
And
probably yeah, it is probably that one
probably
actually.
that one. And it's really interesting because it's a bit like coriander, and some people eat it and think it tastes like mud. Other people think it's lovely.
Yeah.
Scent is quite specific, but Daphne is one where I don't think I've met someone who thinks it's too sweet, and I don't think I've found anyone who thinks it smells like cat wee.
Oh, okay.
Some of the ones which are a little bit more peculiar smell wise, some of the viburnums, people don't like the smells of that, and the choisya as well, the Mexican mock orange. Sometimes for some people, that's just too pungent, but the Daphnes, they look beautiful, they smell beautiful, they are an expensive statement item. It's like a really posh bit of bling rather than your jeans and your
Is
t-shirts.
it?
Your jeans and
All
your t-shirt, go for your cherry tree. You can't go wrong around here with a cherry tree or a camellia, but if you're pushing the boat out, go
You want to
for
dress
a
up a bit.
Daphne or a
You want a
magnolia.
Daphne, yeah.
Exactly.
You're gonna,
Yeah,
yeah, if you're
indeed,
gonna
indeed.
dress up for the night, you want a Daphne.
You want to go out with your Daphne. So then we're
Go out
back
with your
to your Daphs
Daphne.
already.
Yeah, see? All right, okay.
Very good.
Well, you're gonna come back in a couple of weeks and we're gonna do a Q&A, aren't we? So if any of the listeners out there have got any questions, you can send them in to us. Well, you can send them in now, actually, if you want to.
Yeah, please.
Studio at basingstokecommunityradio.org.uk, or if not, you can do it on the social media, or you can tag in Claire, the garden editor, as well, and we'll come back with those questions in a couple of weeks' time, won't we?
Yes, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know all your gardening woes and problems, and we'll see what we can do to sort them out for you.
But before you go, because we're not too far away from Easter, I need to ask you a question.
Oh, yes.
What's your favourite Easter egg? Do you have a favourite Easter egg?
I do. I
Or is it
absolutely
just
do.
chocolate?
I absolutely love Cadbury's caramel cream egg. I don't like the
Oh.
actual cream eggs, but the caramel ones, I will cross fields and wade through rivers to get my hands on those.
Really?
I don't know why. It's filthy, it's dirty. I'm not proud of it,
Get the
but
right
that's
mess
where
with
I
it. Yeah, okay. All right. Now,
am.
what about hot cross buns then? I've got to ask you about that. Have you got a
Yep.
favourite hot cross buns? Because
Oh,
there's some good
just
flavours out at the minute.
yeah, there are some flavors, but I just like the plain standard one. But it
Oh,
has
God.
but I do like them warm, and I do like them with more butter than I think technically you should have. But I like it when you toast them and you can put the butter in. Sometimes you can get
It melts,
your
so
teeth.
that,
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. That type of thing. Yeah. How about you? Have you got a favourite?
Well, not really. I like all of them, really. Apart from, I'm not too keen because there's a certain high street store that does a cheddar and red Leicester one. I'm not really sure about that. But they
No.
also do a rhubarb and custard one,
Oh,
which I
really?
haven't
Now.
yet tried, but I think I will be participating in maybe one of them next week. I might try and do one of them next week.
That does sound like I might have to do some light investigation of that. Yes, that sounds nice. I also think there's an apple and cinnamon one which I've
Yeah, it's not
flirted with in
bad.
the past, but I do like the traditional one. But
Yeah.
for rhubarb and custard, I will definitely do some exploring. So thank you. That's a top
Okay.
tip. Let us know
All
what you
right.
think.
Yeah. Now, before you go, what's your song for today?
With all the sunshine and it's spring, it's a very easy track for me today, Dave. My track of the week is "It's a Beautiful Day" by U2.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks' time.
Speak to you soon then. Bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.